All right, good morning. So yesterday, the S&P 500 closed slightly higher and the Nasdaq closed higher for the third day straight, even though yesterday we had the highest CPI inflation number in 39 years. Today, PPI numbers have been released. Will they be worse? How is the market reacting? We will take a look at this. Earnings season has been kicking off and we'll take a look at some of the earnings. Tesla is on the move again and crude oil is now well above $80. So what's next there? As you can see, we have a lot to talk about. And today is Thursday, January 13th. Wow, dodged it by a day. Otherwise, it would be Friday, January 13th. Anyhow, if this is your first time here, hi, I'm Marcus Heidkotter. This over there is my head coach, Mark Hodge. And together, we have more than 47 years of trading experience. And every morning, we sift through a mountain of news websites, of newsletters and reports. And then we take the most important news and go live right here to share with you what you need to know as you go into your trading day. If you're new to this channel, I know it can be overwhelming. So don't worry. We have a special video just for you that I will link to in the description. And that's a great place to get started. Okay, Mark, looking at yesterday, I brought up the S&P 500 and we eked out a gain here, up 0.3% yesterday.
And you know, that works. 2 days ago, we had that huge reversal, and then the big day, or 3 days ago, we had the huge reversal, the big day yesterday. Okay, scratch that. After such a nice reversal over the last couple of days, yesterday was a real just back and forth, indecisive day, trying to find some direction. And you're right, Marcus, it finished 0.3% higher. I have my days mixed up, but that rally over the last couple of days and yesterday's back and forth is a fact.
Yeah, I mean, looking here at the 5-minute chart, we finished higher after at first investors thought, hey, yeah, that's pretty good, the CPI data. But then they were digesting the news and you see that we were diddling around and everybody was waiting for today's PPI number. So yesterday, the consumer price index, today, the producer price index. Now, before we go over there and look at this and how the markets are reacting, I mean, we talked about it. For the S&P 500, the 50-day moving average has been solid support. And you see, yesterday I looked at the Nasdaq and I thought for the Nasdaq, oh, we need to bring out the big guns. We need to bring out the big daddy, the 200-day moving average. And look at this. Nasdaq bounced off the 200-day moving average and we'll see what happens there.
That's, you know, it's a good sign though. You have these moving averages, which are indicators that have been used for a long, long time. And somewhere along the process, the 50 and the 200 day have been used by funds for decades as a gauge for, you know, direction, and the 50 being a little shorter, the 200, you know, longer. And, you know, the 50-day, you could find some bounces, 200, the long-term trend intact, and you see that's up. You know, these days, everybody's so short-term focused. That's why the 50-day or even, you know, shorter moving averages tend to be popular with traders. But that big daddy, like you said, the 200, I think that's a good reference, Marcus.
It is. It is. Okay. So yesterday, CPI, and especially the core CPI, that is the Fed's preferred gauge of inflation. So it came in at 5.5%, and the core CPI excludes food and energy, right? And that's pretty high. We talked about it. Highest number in 39 years. So that's where the question is, how will the Fed react to this? Because it's all about the Fed, what they will do. How fast will they raise interest rates? And there was some news yesterday, right? We had a couple of Fed members speaking up.
Yeah, more Fed officials signaling support for a hike as soon as March. You had San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly and her Philadelphia friend over there, Patrick Harker, saying in interviews yesterday that they're supporting that. We also have Lael Brainard heading over to do the Senate Banking Committee hearing today. And so she's the nominee for vice chair of the Federal Reserve. Some were wondering if she would actually be the suggestion over the current Fed chair.
Powell is his name. Let's call him Powell.
Yeah, we could call him Powell. And she is calling for even tighter policy. She says that the Fed has to fight against inflation. It's the most important task for the Fed right now.
All right. Well, let's see what the markets are thinking right now, because this is where I brought up here the CME Group Fed Watch tool. And as we can see, for the Fed meeting on January 26th, in a couple of weeks from now, everybody expects the Fed to leave interest rates where they are. I mean, 96.9%. But then when we look at March, I mean, there's pretty much right now almost certainty that the Feds are raising rates, because we're looking at 83 plus 2.6, so around a little bit over 85% chance is factored into the markets right now that the Fed will raise interest rates as early as March 16th during their meeting there.
Looks like almost certain at this point. The right. Interesting part to all of this is the number this year. I still think that is a big wild card, even though Fed members are calling for three. You had Goldman Sachs saying that they expect four interest rate hikes. Yeah, I think towards the second half of the year that could even be lower. You have a tendency to overcorrect at times because you don't want to correct too soon, right? That's why inflation is out of control, because the Fed didn't want to do anything about it because it was such a sensitive nature. And if we see earnings starting to fall because they were so great last year, just huge, and then this year calming down a little bit, we'll see.
All right. Well, let's shift gears, because this morning the PPI, the producer price index, was released, and let's see what happens there. And surprise, surprise, the producer price index actually fell. It was worse than expected. I mean, previously it came in 0.8% higher this month over month, forecasted 0.4%, and it only came in 0.2%.
Yeah, so a change between the consumer price index, where it was a little bit hotter, you could say essentially in line with expectations, but here it's not as high as expected. So that's a good thing.
Wait, are you saying what the Fed is doing is working? Oh, wait, they haven't done anything yet. So no, this is where it goes. I mean, some people already say that we are at a peak here, that inflation will go lower. And this is where, right now, a little bit of hopeful. So before we talk about the unemployment claims, let's talk about those. So unemployment claims also came in this morning, slightly higher than expected, but still at super low levels, right?
It did. And I mean, I think that's still close. We're going to be around the 200,000, a little, give or take. And so the other data right now is more important for the markets.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a look at the markets. Let's see. We are switching back to the futures markets. Let's actually take a look at the E-mini S&P, and we are going to a 5-minute chart. And on the 5-minute chart, we see that when the numbers were released, we have a spike. And right now, the S&P 500 is marching higher. So investors like this idea of maybe we have reached a peak and maybe inflation is already going down. But this is where we know traders, investors are always hopeful, right? I mean, we always say, well, one of these birds doesn't make a summer. What is it, a swallow? But for traders, like, hey, there's a swallow. Yeah, it'll be all be fine, right? I mean, this is what we're seeing right now as a reaction to the report here.
Traders are optimistic, yeah. Long term. You can't argue that when you look at a chart.
Yeah, looking here at the NASDAQ, also pointing to a higher opening here right now. I mean, we're still 20 minutes away from the opening, but right now pointing to a 0.4%, and the Dow also pointing to a 0.4%. So all three indices are reacting positive to the news this morning from the PPI and also from the unemployment claims. But yes, while the markets are open, so 30 minutes after the markets open, Leib Reinhardt will speak in front of the Senate confirmation or hearing, renomination committee. So we will see what she has to say, because when Powell spoke on Tuesday, markets liked what he had to say. Let's see if she is echoing what he's saying. But I heard that based on the meeting minutes, basically 20 times she voted a different direction than him. So she definitely has a different opinion. So we'll see how this translates this morning. All right.
Yes.
Let's take a look at a few stocks. Who's on the move here?
Ultra. Let's look at Delta.
Delta Airlines. Earnings season are kicking off. Delta reporting earnings.
So they posted an earnings beat and saw better profit and revenue. They reaffirmed their full year guidance and they are up pre-market, up about 2.5% now, right?
Yep.
Their earnings of 22 cents a share beat estimates. They said thanks to stronger holiday bookings and more business travel, the business travel being key for airlines. Business travel coming back is a huge plus for the airlines. They do expect a first quarter loss where they blame the Omicron variant for higher costs and also weaker than expected bookings. But they say that after that first quarter, they see a travel demand rebounding and profits this year.
Well, I mean, we have heard about it. I mean, airlines have a shortage right now, a worker shortage. I mean, United Airlines said that they're paying pilots three times as much right now as they used to. And also, I think the crew pay is highly up, it might be double or something like this. So, yeah, at some point, I was surprised that they're still posting a profit. I mean, with all these costs going on and all of the cancellations that we had over the holidays, over Christmas and New Year's. So, hey, that's good news. That's good news. All right, what else is on the move?
Sure, we have KB Home, KHB, the ticker.
I think it's KBH.
KBH, sorry. So they're up nice pre-market as well, up over 9%. And they reported better than expected earnings. So they reported 14 cents above estimates, although the revenue was slightly below expectations. They did issue a positive outlook for 2022, and that's helping the stock and pre-market.
And this is where it goes back. I mean, we know that last year, for example, lumber prices, what is it? No, it's LBS, skyrocketed, making it definitely more challenging for builders to build profitably. Even right now, it seems that lumber prices are still fairly high. But builders are able to squeeze out a profit. So this was good news. And that's kind of unexpected. And I think this is when we see the biggest jumps, when we have this unexpected. Because I think that people expected, oh, you know what, they won't do as well. So if they are beating expectations and issuing a higher guidance, that's good news. All right.
Hey, Marcus, to your point, Lennar, L-E-N, another home builder, and they're a pre-market. They increased their dividend by 50%, raising it to $1.50 annually per share. And that's helping the stock, but being able to increase their dividends a plus.
Yeah. All right. I saw that TSM, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, is on the move this morning, up more than 5%.
Yeah, they reported a record quarterly profit and also beating the forecast. They issued an upbeat outlook for because of the surging demand for semiconductors. So they're up nicely as well.
Yeah. And I mean, this is where right now we are going into earnings season. So these are the first names that we know. And then we have tomorrow banks reporting. Wells Fargo is reporting. JP Morgan is reporting. Who else is reporting? I mean, three or four major banks are reporting. So earnings season starts to kick off here right now.
And fourth quarter earnings for the S&P are expected to be up 22.4%. That's according to Refinitiv. And this is, you know, piggybacking a huge 2021 where earnings were up approximately 49%. So we'll see how traders react.
Yeah. Let's take a quick look at crude oil price. We talked about this because crude oil still marching higher. Look at this. I mean, kind of crazy. We're now above $80 a barrel, marching towards the highs here, the temporary highs that we made late October, beginning of November, of around $85 a barrel. But I mean, this has been just a run up. And it's also showing demand is back, right? So it's kind of a good news, even though it means, okay, for inflation, it's not good, but it also shows demand is back. And this is why crude oil kind of always a little bit a leading indicator of what's happening in the economy often.
Sure. And we could also, shift gears one more time as we wrap things up. Futures. Futures pointing to a higher start, but one thing that I like to see is that the Dow futures and NASDAQ are pretty much in line. right? So we've had this sector rotation and the Dow up and the NASDAQ getting hit and the NASDAQ up and the Dow lagging. And now it just looks like a broad-based market positive start for the day. So
let's see what Leigh Brainard can do when she is talking in front of the Senate. If she can derail these markets, because right now, as I said, all three indices are looking strong. Hey, it is time to get started and to start trading. If you would like to know how we trade these crazy markets, I'll link to a few videos right here. If you enjoyed this morning's update and would like to see us again, tune in or subscribe to this channel, and we'll see you in the next video.
Happy trading, everybody.